We've been talking about different aspects of worship services and other services that we do. This lecture is about baptism. We want to talk about how a pastor proceeds with a baptism. Baptism, of course, is one of the most familiar examples or familiar steps in church life, baptism and communion. So it's important that we know what we mean, what we're doing, and how we proceed. We practice, in my tradition, believer's baptism. That is, people who have made a profession of faith in Jesus and now want to give public declaration. That's what baptism is. Baptism is a public declaration of your faith in Jesus that you have established earlier. So we don't believe that you are saved in the moment you are baptized, but that this baptism is a sort of reenactment of your conversion. I always think of it as a very short little play, very short little drama that portrays what happens when we become a Christian. Of course, a baptism carries several simple symbols. The first is death, going under the water, and resurrection, coming out of the water. And that's borne out in Scripture. Another, of course, is cleansing. I don't know if this will work in another language, but I baptized a young boy not long ago, and instead of saying he wanted to be baptized, he said he wanted to be bathtized, because bath is what you take when you go to bed and when you play in the tub. So he wanted to be baptized. So the water of baptism symbolizes the cleansing that we have received in Jesus Christ. There's also a sense in which when we are baptized, we are, you might say, putting on a new skin. We're a new person. We come out of the water as a new person. We are resurrected people as we come up. A part of baptism is usually the verbal public profession of faith. Part of it is not only what you do in the water, but the candidate's expression of their testimony, how they came to faith, or at least that they have put their faith in Jesus. Preparation for baptism varies from church to church and from person to person. You might be baptizing someone who has grown up in the church and known all the doctrines and everything, and now they have finally put their faith in Christ. You don't really need a lot of training for them. But sometimes you are baptizing people who have had no Christian background. The custom in the early church was to have a period of training. The first custom was from the beginning during Lent, the 7 weeks leading up to Easter, that during that time, baptismal candidates would be trained in the faith. One time I was in India, and there were two people being baptized, two young adults. They had come in from other places and spent 2 weeks with that church being trained in the faith. And they were preparing to go home after their baptism to very antagonistic places where it was dangerous to be a Christian. So we certainly want to make sure that people we are baptizing understand the faith and have made conscious and clear decision for Jesus Christ. Some churches have a baptistry or baptism pool right in their building. So it's much easier for them. They can have a baptism anytime. Many other churches don't have that, and I've been part of both. And then in that case, you need to go to a river or a lake or a pool. Usually when you go to another place, you build the whole service, the whole time together around the baptism. Sometimes if you're baptizing someone in the building, in the church building, the baptism is just a part of a larger worship service and doesn't take as long. It's customary for the pastor to do the baptism, but I can't see any biblical reason why it must be the pastor. This boy I mentioned who I baptized recently, I was in the pool with him and his father. I did the speaking, but when it came to do the baptism, his father, who was a man of God, got the privilege of baptizing his son. And I thought that was a great way to do it. But your own church may have traditions about how that should be done. I don't think baptism should be done independent of a local church, because you are being baptized into a body of Christ. So I don't think somebody should just say to you, could you just baptize me with my family, you know, at the lake? I think it's best if we do this as a church, or at least as representatives of a church. Sometimes when you're away from the building, you can't get all your people there. That's understandable. What do you do about children? Children who have made a profession of faith, how young would you baptize someone? Well, I think that is an issue for the local church, for the pastor and the parents to talk about. It's often been a custom that you'd wait till a child was about 11 or 12 years old. But again, there's nothing in Scripture that guides us specifically on this. I've had children who are quite young who were very clear and very adamant that they wanted to be baptized. Now, it's tricky because sometimes children really just like the attention. They think it's kind of a cool thing, or they want to be like somebody else. So it really is something you need to talk with them. I meet with them. I have a simple little Bible study that I give them and work through it with them, and they write with their pencil on the piece of paper what the answers to the verses are. I ask them how they became a Christian. I ask them if they want to tell others about Jesus, so forth. I make sure they understand the symbolism. Littler children don't understand symbolism very well. And so you want to make very clear that we're acting out death and resurrection in Jesus. We're acting out becoming clean in Christ. So if the parents are comfortable and you're comfortable with their profession, then I think it's acceptable to go ahead. What to wear. Some churches have robes for people who are being baptized to use, and some don't. It's just a custom either way. If people aren't using robes, you just want to tell them to dress modestly and make sure they bring a towel and things to change. Now, let me just show you how to do a baptism in case you have never done one. So I'm going to ask Nika to come and help me. Would you hold that for me? So imagine we're standing in a lake, or the water's maybe about waist high, and I have just asked Nika to share her testimony of how she came to faith. And so she's told that if her voice is little and you don't have a microphone, which can be dangerous if you're in water, then the pastor sort of repeats some of these things so that everybody can hear. And then in our church, we have a custom, you don't have to do this, but in our church, we have a custom where after she's given her testimony, she has chosen someone who she really respects as a believer to pray for her. Could be a parent or a youth worker or a friend who prays for her and for her spiritual growth. We like that custom. Then I might, as a pastor, just say some things about her that I really appreciate as a Christian. You don't have to do this, but I find just it's a great thing to do. This is what I have really come to appreciate about this person or about how they came to faith in Christ. And then when it's time to be baptized, I say, Nika, upon hearing your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And she will see how she holds one wrist with the other hand. It doesn't matter. And then she plugs her nose. This gives me something to hold on to, right? And she wants to plug her nose because she's going to go over backwards and she doesn't want to get her nose full of water. And then we just go back like this. Now, in the water, she's very buoyant, and so it's real easy to do this. If the space is really small, let's imagine this was all the space we had, then the way she'd do it is bend your knees, and we just go down like this, okay? So that's how we'd baptize it. And then when she steps out, I like to have somebody ready with some towels and things to help because, you know, it could be slippery. They're wet and they want to dry their hair and their face and everything. So then you want to have some towels ready. So that's how you do a baptism. The main things that you want to have happen, the basic thing, is you want to have a clear profession of faith, public profession, words, whether they give a testimony or whether you just have a statement Are you trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they answer yes. However you do it, that's what happens. I did a baptism for a lady once. Her name was Thelma, and she was a grandmother, and she was so nervous. The situation was that she had cancer, and she was dying, and she had never been baptized, and so she wanted to be baptized. Our church at the time didn't have a baptistry, so we went to a swimming pool that was at her daughter's house, right next door to her house. Well, when we got there, she said, "I am so nervous. I don't think I can speak. I don't think I can talk." And she'd written her testimony out. So when it came time, and she told me, I said, "Can you tell me how you came to Christ?" She did. We sat in the living room, and she told me. So then when we went out to the baptism, she's standing next to me in the water, and she's just trembling because she's so nervous. So I gave her testimony, and every once in a while I go, "Thelma, is that right?" And she'd go, "Yes." Then I'd tell a little more, "Is that right?" "Yes." And then she had made her profession of faith.
We invite you to participate in the International Bible Teaching and Gospel Sharing Project. Whether these Christian expanded educational opportunities will become available to people around the world depends on all of us. We very much need and appreciate your prayer and financial support. For more information, please visit tvsseminary.com.
Now here's some specific ideas or things that might help you that you can add or work with. If you want to have an overarching statement of Scripture, why do we do this? It comes from the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. When Jesus commissioned his disciples, he said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Why do we baptize people? Because Jesus told us to. If you're having a whole service of baptism, you might read that verse, and then this is a good time for a short sermon. You can talk about salvation. You can talk about cleansing. There's a lot of different angles. It can be an evangelistic opportunity because perhaps there are unbelievers who have come to observe this opportunity. It really is a great evangelism time, and that is especially true in some communities, some places. There are a number of passages of Scripture that you can use, and those we'll put on the screen, and you can copy them down or hang on to them if you'd like. But like the baptism of Jesus, the Great Commission passage I just read, and there are other baptism stories. Then there are passages from the epistles that emphasize what baptism does. We want to pray for that candidate who's being baptized. As I said, we invite someone who they respect to pray for them, but it's certainly fine if the pastor prays or an elder or others, several, if you have time, can pray for this person. We like the idea of the person who's being baptized giving a profession of faith. Can you tell us how you came to Christ? Now, you have to think about the context you have. You might say to them, now, this needs to be kind of short because we don't have a lot of time. What I worry about, frankly, is that people just ramble. And so I suggest that they write down what they want to say, at least some points, so that they can speak succinctly. Also, when people are very nervous, they forget what they were going to say. Or if you're dealing with someone who's quite young, their voices are so little, and you want to know what they are going to say so you can sort of repeat it for everyone. Sometimes people who you've met with and they've shared their testimony with you, and then they're standing there in the water and they talk and you go, "Yeah, but did you trust Jesus?" they forget to say the most important thing. And so then as pastor, you just simply say, "Are you trusting Jesus Christ to be your Savior?" The pastor can clearly explain that this person has trusted Jesus Christ. Here's a full statement that you might use. You use their name, "Tom, have you repented of your sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and are you determined to follow him as Lord?" And then the candidate would say, of course, "Yes, I am." Now, you want to make sure, as pastor, you've heard these testimonies in advance, that they are sound, that they're clear, because this is a significant moment. Remember what we said earlier, that baptism really plants a flag, a stake that says, I belong to Jesus. It changes the people, a person's heart. It gives them a standing in the heavenly realms with the enemy and the angels as well. It is a place of great encouragement and assurance for them. Another way that you can approach this is this. Our Lord said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. I now ask you to publicly declare your faith, and then you can read some statements of the faith, like, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and his Holy Spirit, co-equal and co-eternal members of the Trinity, and read a doctrinal statement to which, after each sentence, they go, I do. That's another way to do this. Another statement that has been used for generations is, the pastor says, do you renounce the devil and all his works, the vain pomp and glory of the world, with all desires for that world, and the sinful desires of the flesh, so that you will not follow nor be led by them? And the person says, I do. So we've talked about how to baptize one, how you prepare somebody, what it means. You know, there are a couple other things you might do. The person who's being baptized might share a favorite verse of Scripture. That's a kind of very personal thing. As I mentioned, the pastor might just say something personal about the one being baptized that you appreciate as their shepherd. The congregation could sing the candidate's favorite Christian song. That's a really special thing if you have time for it. If someone in particular who helped bring this person to Christ is in the audience, perhaps they could help with the baptism. That would really be rewarding, wouldn't it? If you had significant part in this person coming to Jesus and then you got to help. Sometimes you can make a certificate or something that indicates this is the day so-and-so was baptized on this day. They profess their faith, and the pastor signs it. Maybe the person being baptized signs it, the witness, so they have a record to keep and remember that day. I'm very thankful for that because I can't remember the day very well. I was a boy, and I'm glad that that is written down somewhere. I believe in immersion, going under the water, but sometimes that's just not practical. I baptized a man once who was in a wheelchair. And so in his case, we just put a towel around his shoulder and poured a little water over his head. The means is not the significant thing. It's symbolic. The means, or the what's important, is the desire of the heart. So those are some ideas on baptism, this great privilege that we have as pastors and as Christians.